What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Cheeky Midweeky, where we are making strength and conditioning not boring anymore, and we do that by highlighting the practitioners that work in all fields of strength and conditioning. This episode, we are joined by a coach that used to work in the team sports setting and now is working in corporate wellness. You might be wondering, why should I do that? Why should I care? That's why this episode is for you with Coach Ian Samuelson. Before we get into it, please hit that subscribe button. It costs you $0, but it helps this show grow so we can reach more coaches who can help more athletes. It also costs you nothing to hit a rating and review. If you do that and you take a screenshot of your rating and review and you email it to us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com, we have a free gift to you for doing so. Here at Strength Coach Network, we pride ourselves on giving you the best quality information from strength and conditioning coaches and practitioners that still work with or have worked with athletes. This is not theory. We are always about giving you practical information that you can apply day one, the minute you're done listening to this. And you can check us out for a $1 trial in the link down below. Click that link and find out more about us. Vacations are meant for you to be outside doing things that you love and reconnecting with your family and your friends and recharging your battery. It is not meant for you to travel and listen to some coach talk in a conference hall and eat some food that you know really isn't the best thing that you want to be eating. Take back your vacations and do so with a Strength Coach Network annual membership. When you purchase an annual membership, you're going to get access to our course, Performance Coaching 101. In the subsequent years, it'll renew and you'll get access to 102 and 103. Each year, you're going to get access to 2 NSCA CEUs and 10 CSCCA CEUs. These CEUs will allow you to be able to learn from the comfort of your office. You'll be able to earn CEUs on your time rather than having to travel. Take back your vacation and be able to do this with a Strength Coach Network annual membership. Click the link down below for more information.
Sure. So, Ian Samuelson, I've been a strength coach for a very, it feels like such a long time. Because I'm a second generation strength coach. I think it's the only guy I've met that can also say that is Jay Epley, Boyd Epley's kid. We had a little run in at Michigan
as well.
Oh yeah, Peter Ken now. There's one more. Aaron Hillman's son. He's a director somewhere. So I'm in good company, I guess. I had the really kind of strange at the time opportunity in very podunk rural north central Indiana to have a strength coach in 2007 when I was playing football and throwing the shot or trying to. But even more unique in the sense of, you know, it was my father. Right. So we would go through these workouts. And then, you know, I'd go home and like, Dad, what the fuck was that, man? Like, what are we doing here? And he kind of talked me through it, not in the probably as in-depth way that we can now. I mean, certainly not. But it was enough to really get me the itch. You know, I really got the itch early to want to do this for a career. Originally, because I love sports. I love to compete. You know, football. I always say my wife is my greatest love, but football is my first love. You know, there's pictures of me, I'm sure, like a lot of other kids, just out in the back in my, you know, plastic Minnesota Vikings. Don't know why, but plastic Vikings helmet, trying to play football at 3 years old, and I don't want to let go. You know, I didn't want to give it up. I was recruited kind of, you know, play at a couple, you know, small colleges. There wasn't much to recruit. I'm 6 foot on a good day. And I decided to kind of let it go and go down the strength coach thing.
Team Builder has been my trusted source for online software programs for my athletes since 2019. Since then, they've continued to grow. They have this new practice integration where practice planning can integrate with the sport coach. You have your sports science, your AMS, the questionnaires. They've continued to evolve and keep giving you the things that you need. It has made my life easier as a strength coach. I want the same for you. You do not need to keep printing on lift cards. Please, printing on lift cards in Excel, you don't need to do that. If you need help being able to purchase it, they have a pre-written written Grant on their website. They're also part owners in the Plyomat with Coach Rich Burnett. So if you need to get a good device that can accurately and validly and quickly get your jump height and ground contact time, so now you can get RSI, Plyomat's a great choice. We utilize that at Goldfinch. Check Team Builder. Check them out in the link down below. Please stop printing on lift cards. It's going to make your life easier. It's going to make your athlete's life easier. It's easier to program on the back end. Check out Team Builder in the link down below.
So I looked at schools that would help me do that, and really have had one objective since. You know, plan B was make plan A work since I was 18. And went to Ball State. And started cutting my teeth where I could. The learning curve at Ball State was steep. It was very steep. And, you know, it really took some lumps, you know, especially as a young kid where you're coaching dudes that are, A, you know, bigger than anyone else you've ever seen in your whole life, but also 3-4 years older than you. You know, it was a pretty crazy experience. But it have it's just been kind of going ever since, and you know, getting up every time I trip, and 12 years later, here I am. So I've been fortunate enough to be in a lot of different environments. You know, did a stint at on the Olympic phase, the Olympic side of the coin. Worked a little bit in high school. Found my way back to college football for a little while, and am now in the corporate, I guess, side. Just jumped in with Exos, working with corporate. It's corporate performance, really. Not even really corporate wellness, but it's corporate performance. So
two things that I want to touch on before we get to that, the corporate stuff, is what do you think is wrong within the world of strength conditioning, college, university? Like when you're a student, boy. Right? And because you talked the Ball State, cut your teeth when you could.
Like, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Let's double click on that.
Okay. I think it's important to understand first, especially with NIL and revenue sharing and all that. Those are completely different worlds now. So we're talking about in, you know, 2012, 2013, you know, the experience at Ball State where, you know, by the way, David Feely was the head strength coach there.
He's now
the director at Duke, who has his own very credible reputation. So trying to learn while strapped to that comment was pretty, it was a lot. But I think the demographic of college sports as a whole is insanely different, right, from those days. So, you know, when I say cutting my teeth, you know, at Ball State, it was a lot of just sort of getting in where we could and just helping these really gritty, tough dudes how I could, right? I was armed with a USAW and a can-do attitude. And we're just in there giving them hell, right? So, but fast forward, gosh, how many years is that? 12? I don't know. To Bowling Green, where now dudes are getting paid. The transfer portal is running rampant. You know, the kid that was at those MAC schools is different, right? And I mean that by, you know, and everyone has their own experience, right? Everyone has their own unique roster of kids, but you know, speaking with other guys who coached in the MAC, especially, you know, back when I was starting, it was full of kids who, background aside, just had a chip, right? They had a chip on their shoulder. Not even a chip. It was a boulder. They had a boulder on their shoulder. They were the guys kind of like me when I was growing up playing. You know, I got where I wanted to go through hard work, right? I'm not a very genetically talented guy. I wasn't a genetically talented kid. Those guys obviously were further along the line than I was, right? But they were the ones that felt like they had something to prove, right? The Mac offer is what I got. That's where I'm going. But now, and not to discredit these kids currently, bless you, not to discredit the kid, but just the landscape is so different to where now, you know, we can just hop in the portal, right? We can, if we don't like what we got going on for whatever reason, we can hop in the portal and, kind of try your luck there. That's a whole other conversation, right? As far as what the, potential ramifications of that are for an athlete.
How about the actual, like, going to, you know, the university side? Like, okay, if you're going to, if anybody listening to this right now and they're, they just graduated, right? And they finished their degree, the master's degree, or anybody that's listening to this and they're still in school, maybe they're a GA, or anybody that's, you know, reflecting on their time 20 years ago, 30 years ago in school, what do you think could have been done to improve the college experience?
Oh, for the athlete themselves?
No, yeah, like you, us the practitioners. How can we improve the
before
you go to university or college to get a degree in strength and conditioning? Because there's not even really degrees in that. It's always exercise.
What's
the way that we can make the education system better?
Oh, boy. I think first and foremost, you got to take a good look at Springfield. And I know that are you a Springfield guy? Did you go to school in Springfield?
I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm...
Okay, so you're very well aware of it, right? You know, I've heard you talk about the Springfield Mafia plenty of times on this podcast. And, you know, it's very evident... You go to a NatCon or anything, and they're just out there in droves, right? They run in packs. I think that really is testament to how they're doing and what they're doing. Does the degree actually have, say, like, focus in strength and conditioning at Springfield?
I'll research it as you go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah. But I think, you know, they've done a really good job. You know, I've heard a few people speak about just the demand that there is from an academic side to graduate, you know, kind of in that little niche that they've built. So I think that they're doing a really good job of creating a framework for that. You know, speaking toward kind of where I was at Ball State, as great as the exercise science program is there, and was there when I was around, I think that there's too big of a need or a demand for all facets of exercise science or kinesiology or whatever that is. So you go to, you know, say XYZ University and you look at a course list and it's a lot of things that you do need, you know, anatomy, physiology, biology, all the ologies, right? You know, but I at a university that's fairly known for that, you know, that XI program, I took one strength and conditioning class, right? It was one strength and conditioning actually called that class. So I think just a concerted effort from academics to just be a little bit more focused on kids wanting to get into actual performance. Right. And we can talk about performance as a framework kind of as we go along here. But I think as I say that, too, though, that it's starting to happen. Right. So if you look at what Brian Mann's doing down at Texas A&M, right, creating, you know, a curriculum. And that might be a little bit more sports science based. I haven't really dug deep into that. But, you know, now we have a very highly regarded tenured former strength coach, right, in the classroom with kids, right, teaching the ins and outs. Because we all know that, you know, once you pass those classes and get that CSCS, now is when the real education starts, right? That's when you start figuring out, oh, none of this stuff that actually was taught to me works in real time.
That's my question, right? Is like, how can we fix that? Like, you know, how do we make that?
I think that's just a time and room thing. You know, you, you in order to have those experiences and take those lumps, I think that you gotta be the guy writing the program, delivering the program, evaluating the program, rewriting the program a week in, you know, and just rinsing and repeating until you're more refined.
Hawken Dynamics is my preferred choice for force plates and for handheld dynamometers. Made in the USA up in Maine, I have been using them since 2020 when I was at Towson University. Still use them at Goldfinch today, and I've brought the plates to the high school that I've trained at. We will use the plates and transport them when we train athletes at the many different high schools that we currently work at. As I said, they are a handheld dynamometer as well with the true strength. You can assess athlete internal, external rotation, hip, AB, adduction, calf strength, hip, whatever you want to assess, you can do with the true strength. It also has the ability to pair with the difference striking machine. So now you can see single strike, multiple strike. Check out Hawken Dynamics down in the link down below.
I think that some of that can be achieved through maybe more poignant academic quote unquote rigor, whatever you want to define that as. I also think there's a great deal that could be placed at the feet of people handling internships, right? So I did four internships. So
did you ever do like two at the same time, or was it like
I did two at the same place, but not at the same time. So I was at Ball State intermittently throughout my undergrad. I bounced down to Vanderbilt for a semester in order to quote unquote graduate.
Yep.
And then I hopped up at the University of Michigan, where I was there for Coach Harbaugh's first football season. And then once that was over, I hopped over to the Olympic side. Right.
Yep.
And of those four internships, there was one that one and a half that had a defined curriculum.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep. So I had one that was literally like, go coach. And then I had one that was, you know, this is a snatch. This is a clean and jerk. This is how you program for a strength cycle. But even so, there was no actual application, right? And rightfully so. I think looking on the, you know, on the other side of the fence, you know, you don't want to hand an actual athlete or an actual team to some kid, you know? But I think there's kind of that fine line of, it's the best way to learn. It's the best way to learn. I think
it is the best way to learn. And one of the reason that I want to interject there is like, this is a program that when I look back on it now, like they have interns have to read like no joke, mm-hmm. 10 books in a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, bro, no, like what? 10 books in a semester.
That's insane.
That's insane. That's so stupid.
It is.
Let's call it what it is. That's stupid.
That's getting to the point where there may be athletes on the floor and you're in a corner reading a book.
Or you're just not allowed to coach it. Like they're not really allowed to actually coach. Like they kind of are, but they're just parents. And then they're not graduating there understanding how to actually be a good coach. Sure, they understand that they have to read, but it's like, listen, when you do something like that, that's the whole everything's a priority, therefore nothing's a priority. Like, trim your reading book list down, even if it's 6 books in one semester.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think there would be a lot of value to adding interns to meetings.
Yeah.
I think a big thing that I remember, you know, being a 24-year-old assistant strength coach, I'd never been in a meeting before with a coach. Like,
jeez. Like,
never done it. You know, I'd never done it. So I think being in meetings, whether that be with a sport coach, with an athletic trainer, with a PT, whoever, to kind of understand the nuance of what's going into that program. Okay. Is step one. And then step two, let that kid help you run that program. You know, whether it be input during during writing, right, with programming. Allowing them to take, you know, a couple of guys, you know, that you trust, you know, maybe older kids that don't need as much supervision. someone in the rehab process, right, where it's a one-to-one, more, you know, a more personal relationship, or interaction, excuse me, that you can kind of oversee, right, and make sure, you know, nope, that's not right, go this way, you know, there's guardrails, right, so that way no one is, I hesitate using the word danger, but no one's in, you know, no one's ever at risk of something actually going wrong. But then also, you know, they are able to have that experience. I had a really, you know, I've been very fortunate to have really great mentors, right? And one of them, I worked for a guy named Bo Sandoval when I was at Michigan, who's currently.
That's what I thought when you said the Olympics. I was like, I wonder if that was definitely when Bo was there.
Yeah, so I was with Bo, and Bo looked at me one day, dead in the eye, like probably this far apart. He said, if you do anything that can fuck up my program, it's a terrible program. And he's right. He's right. You know, he's like, you're going to be fine. You know, because at that time, you know, I'm still scared out of my wits, you know, to really get into it and coach a kid. And he's like, just let it loose, dude. Just let it loose. And oh, that's so- I have carried that with me, and I have said that to I don't know how many young kids that I've either directly oversaw an internship or have interacted with them, you know, at some point. It's like, you're not gonna fuck up what I wrote. You're not. Okay? Let it rip. You're gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. Okay? It's gonna be okay. If you really ruin something, either A, that's on me for being a bad programmer and a bad coach, or B, that kid is super fragile. So yeah, man, I think that there's never going to be a shortage of kids that want to do this. Right. I think that's actually kind of the root of some problems in our profession. But, The flip side of that, the positive of that, is we have a lot of opportunities and chances to try some different things to help them learn to be really good and maybe have to make a couple of switches, right? There's always going to be another intern class. There's like three a year, right? So there's a lot of room. If anybody's listening to this and you have your internship curriculum, take a good hard look at your Word document or PDF or whatever. And if nothing's changed in 2-3 years, it's an issue, right? It's an issue.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more that like, there's such beauty in that. And I wish I would have heard Bo Sandoval say that to me back when I was.
Oh God. I have dozens of Bo Sandovalisms.
Boisms.
Dozens. He's awesome.
I literally have, if it ain't broke, break it, because of a presentation I heard him give.
Powerlift has been my choice for strength and conditioning equipment ever since I got into the field. Right now, I still have their racks, I have their barbells, I have their bumpers, specialty bars, and we have the IMTP device at Goldfinch, and it's been great for us because it's allowed us to free up the rack where we used to have to do the IMTPs. Now, we use that IMTP device, roll it around, we've created more space. You have to check them out. Doesn't matter if in your college, high school, pro, tactical, or private, they have the ability to make whatever customizations and whatever adjustments you need. I was a part of the weight room that was the 32 brand new rack facility at Iowa football. You see what they did for TCU football. Doesn't matter how big, how small, whatever your customizations are, Powerlift is number one in the exercise equipment space for a reason. Check them out in the link down below.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Those great.
So the corporate side, this is all like, to me, people are interested in this because I think they want to know other opportunities to do what they love, like exercise. Yep. They understand movement is medicine. They understand the positive effects of how it can help you do your job better.
Yep.
But it's gonna fall in line with a lot of guests that have talked tactical with me. Mm-hmm. They've said you can't be a strength coach put into the tactical world. You have to be a tactical strength and conditioning coach to understand the nuances.
Yeah.
Do you have to do the same exact thing as a corporate wellness strength coach because, A, you're having different conversations with people in the C-suite, and like that's just a whole different world that you have to live and language you have to use.
Yeah, it's very different. It's very different. Kind of to maybe be a little bit counterintuitive to what some of your tactical buddies are saying, I 100% agree with what they're saying. But I've kind of had a little bit of a different way of going about my line of thinking with it. So kind of as I've hopped into this, and it's been really interesting so far to look at some parallels that I've kind of seen with training athletes. I think the first thing you have to really, really be honest with yourself about is, what does the word performance mean? Right. And I think when you broaden that out, you know, to me, performance is, you know, the execution of a task. Right. And if you keep it broad, you know, you now have your toolbox as a coach to use what you have and what you know to help so-and-so execute that task. Right. Whether it's Saquon Barkley needs to score however many touchdowns for the Eagles to win 12 games, or so-and-so is, you know, a special forces operator, and, you know, he has his list of functions that he needs to be able to complete in order to do his job, to now, you know, my role is so-and-so wants to be able to focus better in meetings so that they can execute, you know, asking the right questions and making sure that they understand everything fully, right? That's what their performance means, okay? So now me as a physical performance coach, and that is technically my title is performance coach. What can I do to help manipulate that, right? So it's less about, obviously, bench press and deadlifts, and, you know,
it's
no one gives
never
a shit
about anything besides how much you bench and deadlift.
Yes, well, get you know, in your mind. You would laugh at how many guys in this building really do care very much about how much they bench press, which is fun. but it opens up this whole world of possibilities to, okay, how do I help this person succeed at their job, right? Which is what we all do, right? Whether you're coaching at such and such university or with the Chicago Bears or, you know, Apple, how are we helping the people that are in the building execute their job?
Do what they want to do. Reverse
do what they want to do.
Reverse do what they want to do. Period.
Period. Right. So kind of getting back to your question, how have I kind of tried to execute that in the corporate world? It's much more holistic, right? I've had to really dive into things like sleep, things like nutrition, things like travel habits, which I did not, you know, going on a business trip, right? So it's a brave new world of, you know, what do we do to manipulate some physical markers in order to get this vastly different, hopeful outcome, right? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Anybody that's considering doing it, what would be some, you know, looking back, kind of techniques, strategies, like how to break into it? Because
yeah,
you know, even most people didn't know about tactical back in the day. Or
I got lucky.
Vitruv has been my choice for VBT for years now, not only because of the encoder and how well it works with the app, and you can film movements with the camera and get live variable feedback in real time if you so choose to on the app, but the fact of the amount of content they have been pushing out to help coaches better understand VBT. It's not only just to move the bar faster. You can be working on what's the appropriate load for high rep sets based off velocity loss. You can be looking at velocity loss threshold between sets, in between reps. VBT is not just moving the bar fast. It's moving the bar fast with heavy weights. It's not just moving lightweight fast. And Vitruv has been at the forefront educating coaches on VBT and how to do it the right way. Check them out in the link down below.
I happen to live in an area that was very close to the building I'm in, right? So I was not headhunted, but I was able to find the job posting very, very easily. But I think one thing that I, you know, that I really could recommend is, you know, one, be a, sounds like kind of a cop out, but be a good practitioner, right? Good coaches will find jobs, right? If you're a good coach, you're going to be more successful in interviews. You're going to be more successful in conversations. You're going to be more successful when you are asked to execute what you do, right? Having you know, a good solid base of just what a physical performance coach does, you know, in terms of moving those traditional needles, that's the baseline, right? Because my first opportunity to talk with Exos was that meeting, right? And a lot of people have done them. Hey, record yourself demonstrating this, that, and the other thing, right? People want to make sure you can coach, first of all. And then the other thing that has really helped is just being open about what you don't know, right? Be okay with coming in and not knowing every single nuance of the job, right? I know nothing about sales. I'm not a sales guy. I don't want to be a sales guy. So how do I relate to sales to people who do that for a living and want to be better at it? Ask them about what they do. Hey, how do you do your job, right? How do you do your job? What are the things you like about it? What are the things you don't like? Just getting into interpersonal relationships, right? You hear about that all the time in our industry of, you know, you have to be able to be a person, right? And communicate with a person. I think that no matter where you go, that's a huge foundation, right? And then kind of a little bit more specified is it's very helpful to have other tools in your pocket, not necessarily in a mastery level, but, you know, understanding the things that are outside the weight room, right? So the big things for me are, you know, I always ask how my people are sleeping. I always ask like what their diet looks like. Because when you get to the root of it, whether you're speaking about injuries or, again, performance markers, everyone is still a person, right? Everyone has the same energy systems. Everyone, you know, still needs carbs, proteins, and fats and water. You know, there are foundational things that whether you are working in the NFL or the MLB or the business corporate world, some things are universal. Right. So have experiences outside of being able to get a guy really, really strong. Right. Or get a guy really, really fast. Have some knowledge base to be able to help those things that maybe help athletes perform better that aren't necessarily what we do, you know, in the 2 or 3 hours that we see them. Right. Because if strength isn't the needle that we're trying to move, you got to use other things to move the needle that they want.
I'm going to make an assumption here, but I'm guessing nobody in your world brags about taking 12 hours to do something that could have been done in a short amount of time. Like they're not like, oh, Ian, you grinded on this for 14 hours and you're operating on 4 hours of sleep.
No.
They'd look at you and be like, you're really bad.
It's hilarious how the second you get out of, I'm going to pick on college, I guess. The second you get out of college training and conditioning, how ludicrous other people think the habits of college sports, not even necessarily training and conditioning, are. You know, the 14-hour days,
it's
the sick. Maybe 5 hours of sleep, you know. Why? Well, I don't be on TV, I guess. I don't know. Like, you know, it's funny, you know, I was speaking with, you know, my big brother in this business who, currently in the NFL, you know, doing the thing. And, he's like, you know, it's embarrassing that we are the subject matter experts of health and performance, no matter where we are. Right. And we are oftentimes, the worst example of health and performance, you know, in terms of things that don't involve a barbell, you know, it's kind of, yeah, it's embarrassing, honestly.
It really is.
That's a whole other, we can have a whole other hour conversation about, you know, the,
we just need more people to stand up and be, like, just be a good director. Like, shout out to Keir for what he did with his staff when his staff had like different teams, and he would be like, no, you come in the morning and you leave in the afternoon, or you come in the afternoon and you don't come in the morning. And if one of his teams wanted, one of those coaches' teams wanted to train, you know, in the morning, but that person was an afternoon coach, he'd be like, no, you can't train then. There's not enough coaches doing that.
No, there's not. Not
coaches,
I mean,
and I'll give myself a little bit of credit where I used to tell my assistants and Logan, Kate, Moto, Zach, and Carson, they will all vouch for this. There was times where I would find out if the other teams that they were working with, in addition to training football with me, if they had nothing going on and it was an easy day with football, I told them, I'm like, if you come in during the day, I will fight you. Like, you're not allowed to come in. You need to go be with, like, you need to go recharge because it ain't that serious. And then other in my department be like, where are they? I'm like, I don't need them.
I don't know. I don't know where they are. It's not my business to know, right? you know, there's the Bruce Arians, man. I don't know him. I hope I meet him someday. Because, you know, there's a it circulated social media a couple years ago when he was still the head coach of the Bucks of, like, you know, I've got three young kids, right? It's a big reason why I left BG, right? Was I hadn't seen my kids, you know, in the during the season. I see them like 3 hours a week, which is unacceptable. You know, if you miss a recital or a game or something to your kids, I'm firing you, right? This game is not that complicated, and it's like,
it's not.
It's really not.
To Mike Leach, who used to go and watch a movie. Mike Leach would leave the office to go watch a movie because he knew his staff wouldn't leave if he was there. So he would leave to go watch a movie so they would feel comfortable to leave.
Yeah, there's a lot of dysfunction in college. I think I can only hope that as, you know, the younger generation kind of moves in and takes the places of, you know, the desk guards of the world, you know, that hopefully that changes.
Dasher has completely changed the game for how I'm able to time my athletes, whether I'm doing ACEL, Max Velo, or curvilinear running. Had the blues, had the blacks at Goldfinch. Now that I have the silvers, this has saved me so much time in setup. Breakdown if I'm going from Ankeny to Huxley, or from Ankeny to the Nevada location, or Nevada to Huxley. Like, wherever I got to go time athletes, it has made my ability to go from one place to another so much easier with the silvers. Strength coaches that have to go from one field to the other, or from the field to the court, this will help you save time. Now, in the spirit of saving time, you also have the ability to have an API interaction with Team Builder, so now you can see all the data on the back end. Seeing data on the back end, Dasher has a free app, a player profile app, that'll allow athletes to see their data. Over 6,000 coaches and athletes have done so. And if you want more than just the timing gates, if you check them out in the link down below, they have solutions to help you out with vertical jump, broad jump, RSI, all that. Check them out in the link down below.
Right. I would love, I personally, man, again, I love football. I love it. And I've even talked to a bunch of my buddies, like, man, I'm getting itchy. Like, I wish I could go back, but I also know the repercussions it would have on, you know, my wife, on my kids. And I don't want that. Right. So I'm really hoping for the day to where, maybe this is just wishful thinking, that, you know, it is a little bit more manageable, right? It is a little bit more manageable.
It is manageable. And so, you know how they say, like, I've never done heroin or like any of those
drugs, right?
Where, like, it's the greatest high you've ever had, right?
Right.
Like, nothing ever compares to it. Where everybody's like, where in the world is he going with this? I'm saying, I worked at Iowa with Chris Doyle, and I saw an example where he assigned, we weren't desk guarders, and you had a coverage day where if Ian, your coverage day is Monday and my coverage day is Tuesday and DeMarco is Wednesday and down the line, Ian, you know, you're first in, last out on Monday, but on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if your job's done, you can leave when you're done.
Yeah.
Right. And like, now don't come crying to me if you didn't get your job done and your performance weren't right.
Right.
You're not guarding your desk.
Yeah. And I think that you know, we're hopefully moving towards a point to where that's a little bit more acceptable just globally, right? To where it's not just expected to just be there for literally no other reason than just to say you're there. And it's, you know, God knows it's cost a lot of people marriages and relationships with kids and, you know,
life, happiness.
Life, like
they're going out. They're like, some of these people are out there, you know, popping perks all day to get through the day, drinking at work just because they're that. And it's like, it ain't worth it.
Right. And like, it really takes the joy out of the game too. Like I've told buddies of mine, like, I did this thing and it was a life goal of mine to coach college ball, and I did it, and like, I barely remember it. You know, it was 2 years ago. I barely remember it, you know, because I was just so stressed and we got to do this thing and then that thing. And then, and, you know, and just like, there was never a moment to just breathe it in and really like acknowledge the fact that I did this thing that I set out to do 12 years before. And, you know, it just, I think that the habits of coaches take the joy out of the game that we all fell in love with as kids. Right. And again, we can all hope that it comes back around a little bit. I'm waiting for someone to win on a 30-hour work week. You know, I think it's possible.
But you have to.
I think it's possible.
We have to be rooting for and championing any of these teams that are doing it that way.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, and when you hear it, that it's not saying that you can't work. Like, no. Work so stinking hard during those 40 hours of your work week,
right,
that you are exhausted.
Yeah.
Because there is not a minute.
100%.
Like, anybody, go watch the movie The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, where when he's the intern and he's like, I had to leave the internship early because I had to go pick up my kid. So I didn't hang the phone up when I was I was done on a sales call. I just kept the phone at my ear, hit the button and redialed. People are chit-chatting at the office bubbler. I'm not even drinking water because I can't afford to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Like, that's how obsessed your work time should be. And then be that obsessed about unplugging. When you're
right. Good. Meanwhile, at a Power Five school, how many times, you know, Justin, you can be an example. You get done with a group and you sit at your desk and just wait around for the next group. Or you wait around for practice.
Or you just wait until it's like, okay, I guess I can leave now.
I guess it's an acceptable time.
I won't get my balls
out of here. Yeah. Yeah. So we can all, again, the second it happens, everyone's like, oh man,
let's give that a shot.
What have we been doing? So like, let's try that out. God knows I got a 12-year-old kid. I barely remember his name. Let's maybe try.
Like, is that again?
Getting out of here at 3 o'clock after, you know, so yeah, I think
we just have to keep preaching that message.
Right.
Like,
just
distort reality, right? Because Steve Jobs is a perfect example of a task in Apple will take as long as people assign it. If you say we have this long to get it done versus like, nah, bro, you got this long. Get that shit done.
Yep.
Distort fucking reality. Yep. Period. Reality.
Yeah. And, you know, moving over to corporate, that is that's a really big thing that I've noticed as well is, so it's mandated in our contract that we're here from 7 to 7, right? 7 a.m. Just the building doesn't close, neither does the gym. We would like someone here for 12 hours. Fine, totally cool. It's a ghost town by like 4 o'clock, right? Like there's no one here. There's no one here. They got their shit done and they left. Like there's no reason else. There's no other reason to be here, right? Unless you want to get a workout in.
Y'all work, like, for anybody that heard that, they're like, wait, are some people working? Like, now some people corporate are like, wait a minute, I got to work 5/12s? Like, do I get paid for the 5/12? What's the deal?
Yeah, I'm not disclosing where I'm at. I mean, you can You can fucking Google me and figure it out in 5 seconds. But like, yeah, there's plenty of examples around where, you know, I leave at my, you know, I'm one of the very few guys that has a designated time, right? Because unfortunately, that's just how it's written up right now. But there's like maybe 5 cars in the parking lot. You know, like there's no, I mean, because again, when you look outside of athletics, there's a very distinct vision of like, why are you doing that? Right? Why are you getting 5 hours of sleep? Why are you just hanging out at work for no reason? What, like, yeah. You know, so if I ever return to college, it's going to be a very interesting couple of conversations with, you know, whoever's in charge during that interview process to be like, okay, here's the other, you know, the other path of, you know, how the rest of the world works. What are your thoughts on that?
Can we try that?
Yeah. Not even can we try it, but just like, what do you think about getting work done and then, you know, being done with work? You know, I think it's telling to see the quality of your supervisor, the answer to that question, you know?
You even able to, because I'll tell you one thing that I am very stringent upon is, first of all, this thing, my phone, mm-hmm. and I've been doing this since Towson, like, when I left work, I was like, y'all can call me, but this shit's going on. This shit's going on. It ain't going to ring until I wake up at 4 a.m. because I'm going to be there by 5 and there's nothing, like, I'm not curing cancer.
There's nothing so important. Right. Yeah. So this is really, you're going to think this is awesome, Justin. So when I was getting started here, I was trying, you know, I was getting all my equipment set up. You know, I got a computer and I got, you know, an email and all that. I was struggling
to get your act. Everybody.
Yeah. Right. I was getting my badge.
Orientation process. Yeah.
And, I was struggling to get my work email onto my phone. So I'm like, well, what if, you know,
I don't put that shit on my phone.
That's like, athletics, it's a natural thing, right? Yeah. To have accessibility while you're home. Drives my wife nuts, right? Drove her nuts that I'd have, you know, the soccer coach texting me at 10 PM. Like, why? And it was usually just bullshit, but, you know, still. I am not able to have my work email on my personal devices.
Giddy up.
Yep. I am not encouraged to take my computer home with me because it doesn't work on my Wi-Fi at home.
Fucking beautiful.
So I am actually... You talk about a strange world. I am actually barred from doing work at home. Yeah. Right? Beautiful. Right? And it's great. It's great. Because at first, it's like, God, I'm going to break out in hives. Like, what if I got to do something? Like, just do it tomorrow. Just do it tomorrow.
Get it done at work.
Yeah. Either get it done at work or do it tomorrow. No problem. No problems if you don't get it done, right? Meanwhile, 5 years ago, you know, I'm doing GPS after a high school football game at 1 a.m. I dug my own grave on that. I wanted them and I wanted the experience of doing them and all that shit. Yeah. But, you know, like, you're the strength coach 24/7, 365 all the time. Oh. You're the guy, right? So, again, like, if I go back, and I will go back someday, right, and if it's in a director role, you know, they say the first guy through the wall is always bloody, but there's gonna be some differences in Ian Samuelson's performance department, right?
Oh, like, be rooting for it.
Oh. Yeah, like, if it happens, y'all better watch out, because if it happens and we win – now y'all are fucked. Now y'all have to go home before 5. Shouting
from the mountaintop, like, look at this.
Yeah, check this shit out. Yeah, now all y'all have to go home by 5. And if I hear from you after that, I'm gonna be pissed. You know, so there's no reason. There's no reason why those worlds can't exist, other than us. You know, other than ourselves and the kind of, like you were saying, the boundaries that we put on ourselves. you know, as a profession. So,
Ian, I greatly appreciate your time. I know you got this things to do in the middle of the day. We squeeze this.
Yes, sir.
This
out I roll.
No, yeah, I appreciate you, man. You enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Justin.
Here at Strength Coach Network, we pride ourselves on giving you the best quality information from strength and conditioning coaches and practitioners that still work with or have worked with athletes. This is not theory. We are always about giving you practical information that you can apply day one, the minute you're done listening to this. And you can check us out for a $1 trial in the link down below. Click that link and find out more about us. Vacations are meant for you to be outside doing things that you love and reconnecting with your family and your friends and recharging your battery. It is not meant for you to travel and listen to some coach talk in a conference hall and eat some food that you know really isn't the best thing that you want to be eating. Take back your vacations and do so with a Strength Coach Network annual membership. When you purchase an annual membership, you're going to get access to our course, Performance Coaching 101. In the subsequent years, it'll renew and you'll get access to 102 and 103. Each year, you're going to get access to 2 NSCA CEUs and 10 CSCCA CEUs. These CEUs will allow you to be able to learn from the comfort of your office. You'll be able to earn CEUs on your time rather than having to travel. Take back your vacation and be able to do this with a Strength Coach Network annual membership. Click the link down below for more information.
Thanks for watching that video. If you enjoyed it, click right here for videos just like that and make sure you click here to subscribe to our channel. Have a great rest of your day.